Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, this is Chris Claremont, and I listen to Metal Geeks. You should, too.
Welcome, my friend, to episode number 164 of the Metal Geeks podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek, along with...
Brutal Dave. You pulled that episode number right off the top of your head, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Didn't have to look it up or anything.
Yeah.
No. Because we're prepared and we're good like that.
Professional.
Pro-fucking-fessional. Hey, George, what's up? Oh, wait a minute. George ain't here.
Balls.
Thank you.
George hates metal geeks. That's unfair. I'm sorry, George.
Minorly dislikes. In his replacement, in his steed, we have the voice from the other room, who will now be known as the voice in this room. My wife, Kim. I said it like... My wife.
No, Borat. Yeah, that's kind of over and done now. Yeah.
I didn't mean to.
Somebody who... I was around somebody the other day and they did that. The my wife thing. And oh, I remember who it was now.
You're not going to tell us?
I'll tell you later.
Okay. You're like, I remember.
You know them.
Okay. Welcome to the show, Kim, the voice from the other room, Kimu Borgir.
Hello, thank you.
You still going with that name?
Not really, but occasionally.
You're here for a special occasion. We're going to talk about our trip to Disneyland and some band we saw in California, too. What was their name? Avantasia?
Toby and the Tobets.
That's what it felt like. We'll get to that. But how have you been, man? What have you been up to since Comic Palooza?
Trying to figure out work-life balance. Since Comic Palooza is over, my Renfair season is over. I'm trying to figure out how to maintain my sanity and mental health. That means I'm not working all the fucking time.
There you go.
So I've actually been like doing things.
Wow.
Yeah.
You okay with that?
I think so. It's a little scary sometimes.
Right. What do you do when you have free time?
Lately, I've been playing Red Dead Redemption 2 quite a bit.
Oh, yeah?
I'm pretty well into it now. The hype is real. I know I'm late to the party here.
But I stopped after a while. I just got too much.
My God. I don't even care. Like, I'll spend whole game sessions not doing anything related to the story.
Right.
I'll just ride around and hunt animals and go fishing and play poker. And the game is beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, it definitely is.
It is a beautiful... Rockstar
definitely knows how to make a quality game.
It's a good game. And so, like, and I'll do that. I'll go through several sessions in a row sometimes where I'm just doing the generative stuff that happens while you're out playing. You know, go pick up a card game here, go hunting over here, find some random encounter riding from town to town. And I'll just do that stuff for several sessions. And I'll be like, hey, I guess I'll do some story stuff now. And then I get into the story stuff, and it's awesome. Like, the story stuff is solid, too. So, and the further into it I'm getting, and I am intentionally playing it slowly.
Yeah.
So I'm in chapter 3 right now, I think. Maybe 4. I think I maybe just started 4.
I think
4.
I stopped somewhere in chapter 2-ish.
Okay. It gets a lot more interesting, all the stuff that's going on.
More better?
It gets mo' better.
More gooder. Gooder.
So yeah, that's
cool.
I endorse it. It's a good game. I'm really enjoying it.
You and the how many million?
I know that it didn't need my flimsy, worthless endorsement. But
you know what I have been playing recently? I picked up Days Gone.
I've heard good things about that.
There's good and bad things so far.
I just don't know how much I care about a zombie post-apocalyptic game at this point.
I am maybe an hour and a half into the game, just a couple story missions. Some of the biggest complaints that I have, then I'll say what I like about it, because I don't hate everything. The main character is not super likable, but I actually sort of like that in the game so far. It's not like he's not a character that they're making you love right away, mm-hmm. which is interesting for being the main protagonist in a game like this. That and most of you ride bikes, motorcycles in this game. The motorcycle is your horse, mm-hmm. basically,
right?
To get around everywhere. And you can run, you can damage your bike and it breaks. And you have to find parts to get it to work. And you can run out of gas too. So you have to be careful and search around and try to find gas too.
It's kind of, like in Red Dead 2. Yeah. You actually have to take care of your horse.
Yeah, you can't just run into like trees everywhere.
Yeah,
like I do in Assassin's Creed.
Well, and you have to feed them and keep them brushed and do all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Or their performance degrades.
I think that's what they were going for here too. Is that the real world? If you don't take care of your shit, it's not going to work for you.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't got to like areas where it's like zombie hordes, but I got off my bike last night and I got to I was trying to get something that I needed and I was trying to pick it up and a zombie was coming after me. I don't know what they're called, zombies, whatever they're called. And like all of a sudden, like five or six were on me and I got overwhelmed. Like one or two at a time you can take care of, but when it's more than that, you need either fucking run away or find a better weapon or something. It was overwhelming.
I saw a clip on, I don't know, Facebook or something, a clip from the game, and there was a serious zombie horde in this video clip.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking like hundreds of them coming at the player at one time. I felt anxious just watching it.
Yeah. I know, right? Yeah. I haven't got that far yet. I'm looking forward to that, hopefully.
Kind of made me think of, initially playing through Left 4 Dead and like,
yes.
When they would send the waves at you in that game. Did you ever play that?
Oh, yeah, Left 4 Dead. Yeah, for sure. There's another new game, World War Z, which is, I've seen video preview of it. It's Left 4 Dead, the new version of it. It's not a single player game. There's like four different like stages, and it's set up like Left 4 Dead.
Okay.
So
is there a lot of reloading and pills here?
Probably.
Okay.
I mean, once that game gets cheaper, once it turns into like a $20 game, it's probably worth picking up.
Okay.
I think it's only a $40 game to begin with, which is still not bad. But the reviews have been pretty decent on it if you're looking for a zombie-type Left 4 Dead game. And holy crap, dude, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these zombies on screen. It was pretty crazy. I need to play that. Better than, what was the last game they tried to do? There was monsters or something that didn't do very well. Extinct or, I can't remember what it was called.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Oh.
Did really poorly.
Was it the one where it was the multiplayer where you had like a team of four and then one playing a big monster?
Yeah. Yeah.
What was the name? I never played it. What was the name of that?
That wasn't the online only game, was it?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it was.
It was.
Not Anthem. That stuck in my head.
No, Anthem's bad too, apparently. No.
When they're like, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Dude, everyone went nuts for Anthem. Like, when it dropped.
Until they played it.
The hype was.
I missed the hype train. Like, I'd seen one article in Game Informer about it, and that was all I knew. And I didn't even get that much out of it. But I remember when the game dropped. My social media feeds were like Anthem, and then I haven't heard a fucking word since.
People aren't playing it.
It was like, yeah.
Can you look up that one game?
Was it Extinction or something like that?
No, that's something different. It's made by the same company that did Left 4 Dead. The same guys split off.
Yeah, because it was a similar concept to when you did that kind of multiplayer in Left 4 Dead where you could be on the zombie side and be one of the special zombies or whatever. It was that same kind of concept.
Wow. I'll tell you what game I am looking forward to that comes out on the PSVR this weekend. Trover Saves the Universe.
I have no idea what that is.
It's made by Squanch Games, which is Justin Roiland from Rick and Morty, his game company.
Okay.
So you got to go watch the trailer for it because it's fucking hilarious. You can actually play this game without VR as well. But it's an action platformer game done in the style of like Rick and Morty, like humor.
Okay.
A lot of cussing.
Mm-hmm.
And your lead character has like these two eyes that are like living creatures. It's fucking weird.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to it. Did you find out what game that was?
No. Was you thinking like a Dying Light type of thing or something? Or
no. It was one word. I remember
it
that
was
much.
One word, and I can't remember.
People are
going to
be yelling at us.
I know.
Sorry. We should...
But no
we'll
one played this game.
2 minutes later, yeah.
I have also been playing Elder Scrolls Blades. Finally came out.
I haven't played that yet.
I have been. I'm level 16 right now. My town is level 5. I am enjoying it. I don't know if it's open. If it's like open broadly.
Oh,
now.
Really?
Mine, every time I log in, mine still says early access on it,
okay.
Which I signed up for early access during E3 when they announced it.
That's right.
So I got my early adopter bonus items and all that kind of stuff for it. So I don't know if it's got a wide release yet. But I thought I had read that it had.
Evolve.
Thank
there,
you.
Yes.
Tip of my tongue.
There you go.
Remember. Yeah.
But yeah, as a big Elder Scrolls fan.
Yeah.
Elder Scrolls Blade scratches an itch. It's a very bare bones Elder Scrolls game.
Is it?
But it's enjoyable.
An exploration game or what?
No.
Is it?
It's.
It's like one on one fighting.
There's no open world.
Okay.
Which is a little bit weird. For an Elder Scrolls game. So the premise of it is that you are returning to your town that you're from, and you find that it's just been sacked. It's on fire, and so now you have to figure out who was it, what were they doing, something else happened when they came, some supernatural occurrence happened that the attackers seemed unprepared for. They weren't expecting it either. So it turns into this, okay, so who are the attackers? What did they discover when they attacked the city? What is this weird stuff, right? So the town itself is like your hub for the game.
Okay.
You have to rebuild the town because it's all the buildings have been destroyed. So it's part kind of like city building, not like in a SimCity sort of way, because it's still that first-person perspective. You actually walk around the town and go, okay, I want to put a house in this lot here. I want to put a shop in this lot. And so in order to gain the resources to do all of that, because you have to have the gold, you have to have building materials of different kinds, do all this, you go on quests. There are story-related quests that help you unlock more of what's going on. And then there's just like jobs, which are, they're classified differently. But each quest or each job that you go on is a self-contained dungeon. So you go through the dungeon, collect the items you're supposed to collect, kill the monsters you're supposed to kill. Ta-da,
what is the gameplay when you're attacking? Is it touchscreen?
It is. So okay. I was kind of concerned about how they were going to handle.
But is it is it movement touchscreen too? Like you have to hold up to go up and
no. And that was one of the things I was worried about because
I do not like
touchscreen joystick.
Yeah. No,
it doesn't work for me.
No.
This has that as an option. You can play with that if you want to. But the way that their movement is handled is you actually just tap on the screen where you want to go and your character walks there. Then when you enter combat, it brings up like a different UI and you're locked into combat until it's over. It's still happening in the same location that you're already in.
Sort of like a Final Fantasy type thing.
It's not even quite like that. Like there's not a change per se. It's just like you're walking. The field of view kind of narrows slightly.
Is it Elder Scrolls Blades?
Elder Scrolls Blades. Yeah.
It looks like it's available. I'm going to download it.
But yeah, like your field of focus kind of narrows, and the enemy ends up, you know, they take up most of your screen at this point. Mm-hmm. And then you have different button options that you have. And so, you attack by holding down on the screen on them, that kind of rears your weapon back. And when you let go, you swing. And so depending on how accurately you do that determines how much damage you do. Then you've got spells and special abilities that you can do. And so, and those are all button presses. So you can pick. So like in Elder Scrolls games, you've got your health stat, your magicka stat, mm-hmm. and your stamina stat. All those are still here. But the way that you use your magic and stamina stuff is you actually select skills or powers from your character sheet.
Okay.
Because you can have three active at a time. You go, I want to use these three magicka and these three stamina-based abilities for right now. And you can swap them out whenever you want to, but it's just what is going to be available to you when you enter combat, right? Mm-hmm. So it is, it plays very differently from, say, Skyrim or Oblivion, but it's still kind of in that world. Okay. A lot of the settings are very familiar. The same kinds of settings. You've got alien ruins and these kind of dungeons, and you know, some of the monsters are familiar and all this kind of stuff. So, like I said, it kind of scratches an Elder Scrolls itch. I'll figure out how much so once I get more into the lore of it, because I'm not really far into the story yet.
That seems to be the problem with a lot of phone mobile games. It's fine for a while, then you just really lose interest in it.
I haven't lost interest yet. It's still, like I said, I'm level 16. I don't know how far this goes. I don't know how much content there is for it. They just did an update yesterday that talked about some kind of item being discoverable at level 50.
Mm. Wow.
So I don't know, like, what the level cap is, if there's one. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much story they have written or whatever, but I'm just kind of enjoying it. It's nice because, like, the story quests, mm-hmm. they take a little bit longer, but the job quests, you can knock them out in 5 minutes. Okay. So it's kind of a cool, like, oh, I got a couple minutes to kill, to hop on, go run a little quest, gather some resources for my town, and then that's it. You just a quick 5-10 minute session and you're done.
Yeah.
So good bathroom.
Yeah. The only problem I have with it is that it takes a really long time to load.
Mm-hmm. Going through it right now. I was about to mention that. I'm like, the load started like a minute ago.
It takes a long time to load. The other problem that I have, and I don't know if it's an Android thing or if you're going to experience the same thing, but if it gets disconnected for either because you change networks or like you just kind of closed out the app and left it running in the background, and so it just kind of, you know, cuts it off, it doesn't like to go back.
Huh.
Like, if I have left the game open and I try to go back to it after a certain period of time, it's like, we got disconnected, you want to try to reconnect, and if I say yes, it will never reconnect. The only way to do it is to actually close the app out and reopen it, and then it'll sync. But so my problems with it are technical, but not really with the content. I think as a mobile game, it's actually a really good looking and enjoyable mobile game so far. So I dig it.
Nice.
So I guess we could talk about a certain movie we've all seen at this point.
Okay.
Because our topic of the week is going to be basically discussing our trip to Disneyland and the concert.
Mm-hmm.
So we've all seen Aladdin.
Yep.
Guy Ritchie's Aladdin, which is fucking weird to say it in itself.
Now that I've seen it, that's still weird to me.
It is. But there was definitely some Guy Ritchie-isms to it. Like, we talked about it before. I saw a sneak preview at Disneyland, and right after you seen it, we talked about some of the fast motion in the chase scene in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
And that's definitely a Guy Ritchie staple in his other movie that didn't know if it was going to fit here, which it really didn't.
Because you only saw, at that time, you'd only seen that
sneak preview,
right? And I told you then that I didn't notice it anywhere else in the movie. I only noticed
there was one other spot that I noticed it, but it wasn't as bad.
Yeah, it was really noticeable during the chase scene where it was weird frame rate stuff.
Yeah.
The motion, like, it seemed like they were going for stylized, but not leaning hard enough into it. So it, like, wasn't...
They were trying to make it look like Aladdin and Jasmine were running in slow motion and the world around them was going in fast motion. So to replicate, they were running faster than everybody else. They do that in movies and stuff like that. I just didn't think it worked here.
It was kind of odd. I mean, it didn't really take me out of the movie. It was just noticeable.
Yeah.
And that's something you don't want to be noticeable.
So I'm going to preface this in saying one of my favorite Disney animated movies of all time is Aladdin. and I wasn't sure how to really feel about this movie. I saw a few trailers, teasers and all that. But once I saw the 10-minute little sneak preview we saw at Disneyland, I was ready to see the movie.
Okay.
I liked it a lot. I don't know why it was made. I don't.
It didn't have to be made, but you enjoyed it.
It didn't have to be made, but I'm glad that it sort of was, and I enjoyed what the movie was. It was close enough and a tribute enough to the animated movie, but still being its own entity in its own way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's definitely people's big freak out was you can't replace Robin Williams.
Correct. You can't.
And in no way did I feel that they were trying to replace him in this movie.
There were a couple of moments where it started to feel that way. But
friend like me a little bit.
Some of the music in this movie seemed forced and out of place. There's Jasmine's song towards the end of the movie didn't make any sense.
Okay,
to me.
That song. We're gonna backtrack a little bit, but that song, if you take it out of context of this movie and have some kind of like folk metal band with a female singer with that song, it would totally fit on an album.
Maybe so, but it didn't make sense in the movie.
Right. But it sounded like something like Nightwish would do with like no heavy guitar.
Well, and I think that was part of it is that song more than the rest of the music felt modern poppy. Like there was a modern songwriting element to it that didn't fit with the rest of the music
and
to me.
The singer, the actress, I can't think of her name now. Naomi something. I went listen to this.
Scott.
Yeah, Naomi Scott. I went listen to the album again on Spotify, and when I was listening to that song again, her vocals remind me of Annika van Giersbergen, like completely.
Okay.
If you go back and listen to it and then listen to an Annika song, you'd be like, holy crap, they sound very similar in style. Okay. And that's probably why I liked it so much.
Maybe so.
Because I was listening to it, I'm like, this sounds really familiar to me. It sounds really good. But yeah, I agree. It's fine they're adding new music to the movie.
Well, I mean, one of my favorite parts of the Beauty and the Beast remake was the new song for the Beast.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic song. His farewell song as he's sending her away. That's a beautiful song. And I felt like it added a lot to that movie. I didn't get that in this one.
Yeah, there was no big...
No.
Yeah.
When we were talking about the genie a second ago, I do think that Will Smith as the genie was the best thing in this movie.
Oh yeah, he did a really good job. Understated as the genie when he needed to be, but during like A Friend Like Me, he was all over the place where he should have been. And there was a nice tribute to the animated movie in that scene. He pulled like a scroll,
and
it had all their animated versions of them. I'm like, okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
And there's actually a cool little tribute to like Disneyland too in the movie.
I feel like I caught it, but I'm not remembering.
If it was one point where Jasmine was looking at the map and they were trying to find wherever Aladdin's city was.
Yeah, the Fantasyland.
Fantasyland.
Yeah. That's right.
I was like, all right. That's pretty good right there.
Yeah.
They should have showed that while we were at Disneyland. But
meta, no.
It'd be pretty meta.
I enjoyed watching the movie. I enjoyed the experience.
Me too.
But I did not love this movie. I didn't feel like it was... I feel like this is one of the weakest of these live action
movies. I don't know if
remakes.
I agree on that.
Carrie would say serviceable, right?
No, it was more than serviceable. I really enjoyed it.
I felt like...
Don't be a George.
I'm about to be.
I was going to be like, but is it?
But do you really like
it?
It's
serviceable.
We've talked about this on the show before. At least George and I have. I remember that the production design for all of these live action movies is like the same kind of, and I don't get that.
I can see that.
I don't, and to me, I felt like it really hurt this movie because there were a lot of beautiful sets, whether they were really there or they were done in a computer, I don't care. They were really nice. There was a lot of really cool designs in this movie, but I felt like everything was too polished. Like, I wanted, I'm not asking for Aladdin to be a gritty movie. I'm just saying, scum it up a little bit. Like, make Agrabah feel a little bit dirty.
Right.
Yeah.
The palace, I can understand. Yeah.
Everything everything felt too clean and pristine to me. And this, like, the same kind of production quality issue this time around made the whole thing kind of feel like my wife and I had this discussion, and she actually put it in these terms. It seemed like a high budget Disney Channel movie. The whole thing seemed like a high budget Disney Channel, like a Disney Channel movie that had an insane budget, but it was kind of a lot of the sets and some of the acting in the movie were that level.
The guy who played Aladdin wasn't very good.
He was not great.
He was okay.
He was there. Yeah, he was okay. But
the character development they did in this version of the movie was not good, especially for Aladdin, because at one point he just turns on Genie without, and they didn't really build up to it in the way they did in the movie, in the cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
It was just sort of like, oh, okay. Why is he being a dick now?
Mm-hmm.
He's a dick. All right.
Yeah, I felt, because it was I think I remember the scene exactly where that happens, because Genie predicts it.
Yeah.
That, hey,
yeah.
You know, you're going to turn on me. Everybody does.
Yeah.
You know, but it did happen really quickly. Whereas I think in the cartoon version, you could see that happening.
Yeah.
You actually watched Aladdin get lost. And in this one, you didn't. Like, in this one, Aladdin... I'm not spoiling anything, because if you've seen the old movie, you know what
the
story
the
is in the new movie. But spoiler alert if you care. In this one, he seems very self-conscious all the way through until that moment. Like, all the way through, he's like, I'm a fake, 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 I'm a dick. And it just happened like that. In the cartoon, you kind of saw where Aladdin is getting enchanted by all of this. Like, it's slowly working him over.
Right.
This movie set us up for that better, but then didn't deliver on it.
I agree on that.
Because the genie told him.
It's going to happen.
This is what's going to happen.
He said, no.
Nope, not to me. So they had a better opportunity to play with that kind of morality play aspect of it, and they didn't really take it.
I wasn't a big fan of Jafar in this movie.
You know what? I wasn't either.
He didn't really... The cartoon, the animated movie, you definitely know his motive. You definitely know why he's doing what he's doing. And this one, it's like, oh...
He's just a dick.
He just wanted power.
But, well, isn't that what he was doing in the cartoon?
I know, but he was... In the cartoon, I think they developed his character much, much better. It's why he wanted to be Sultan, not just, hey, I want to attack some other country or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What they're trying to do in this one. Did you know who Iago's voice was?
I was just about to say that.
Who? Why don't you say it?
Alan Tudyk.
Oh, okay.
The voice child of our time.
Yeah, because I was thinking of... Frank Welker would have been a guess, because that's the kind of thing that he does. But Alan Tudyk is becoming that
Frank
guy.
Welker was in the movie.
Who was Frank Welker?
He was a Cave of Wonders.
Was he?
Yes, he was.
Was he the original Cave of Wonders?
You know, I don't know.
Okay,
don't know
we were wondering about that.
It's a good question.
So
it's funny that you said Frank Welker, because he was in the movie.
Well, because Frank Welker has made an entire career out of... making animal sounds sound like talking. So, I mean...
He should be in a metal band.
So what year was it? Was it 1993?
92, I think.
92, 93. Let's see. I'm looking it up.
Looking it up. What you going to find? Aladdin Cave of Wonders 2019, correct?
It doesn't look like it.
He does a lot of voice acting.
He was in the series. The cartoon series they put out in 94, but...
Okay. Well, because he was he not Abu in the original movie?
He was
movie?
In the cartoon series, it looks like.
Was he not in the movie, though?
I don't think so.
Huh. I thought he was.
I don't know. This is where our good friend Google was going to come in handy.
Well, you're not so good.
Talk amongst yourself real quick.
So I was wondering, have y'all thought about the Will Smith's Genie versus, compare that to, of course, everyone's compared to like the Disney World show. Do you see any type of similarities between the Disney World, all the Genies versus Will Smith?
The Disney World?
Well, the Disney show that they had, which I think is gone. We watched it, the Aladdin show that they had. Do you remember that at all?
Oh, you talk about in the parks.
In the parks, yeah.
Yeah.
I've never seen that show, okay. So I can't
speak to
that.
That was only a California Adventure.
Okay, I thought it was the world, but okay.
No, that was a great show. It's like the Broadway version of that.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, same thing. You can't replicate what Robin Williams did, because only Robin Williams can be that.
But they weren't replicating, because there was multiple people that played Genie on that. But they were not replicating Robin Williams. But it was very common thing. It's just little jokes that have to do with pop culture that are put in there.
Yeah.
The show.
Right.
I haven't seen it. So, again, I can't speak to it.
Now it's when we were there.
It's close, correct?
It's Frozen.
Yes, Frank Welker was the original voice of the Cave of Wonders and the voice of Abu and the voice of Raja.
Oh, well, there you go.
Well, he's been busy.
You brought him back, Dutch. Good job. Even when we're nitpicking this movie, I still really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and that's the weird thing, is like I have a lot of critical things to say about it, but I enjoyed it while I was watching it.
Yeah.
It was a flawed movie, but it's an enjoyable flawed movie.
What's the next one? Is Lion King?
The newer trailers I'm seeing for that one look amazingly good.
Lion King was on the other night when I was taking a nap.
Yeah, we were watching. Yeah,
I like fell asleep during it when it was on network TV, and I dreamt about being in the Lion King for some reason. You know, that it just seeps into your dreams. It was weird. I'm like, oh, I know what part of the movie we're in. All right. So any other topics you want to hit up before we talk about our trip?
I'm trying to think. See if there's
we're good.
Other movies. I saw Detective Pikachu.
Oh.
Did you?
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to see that.
You probably don't.
Okay. Good.
Hmm.
I know your kids are really into it, so.
Oh, yeah. Like, my oldest daughter, like, everything is Pokemon.
Was it good, though?
You know what? It was an enjoyable... Like, I don't know that much about Pokemon. Yeah. I know a little bit. I don't know a great deal. As, like, a family movie kind of a thing to do with the kids or whatever, I had a good time.
Okay.
It was enjoyable.
I saw a newer trailer that had different scenes in it, and some scenes look funny.
There's some
Ryan
funny
Reynolds, you know.
Ryan Reynolds does a great job.
It's something I'll probably watch on HBO for free.
Or Redbox it, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. The plot is like, it's a kid's movie, but it's a mystery, right? It's Detective Pikachu. He's trying to solve something.
And the only person that can hear him is that one dude.
Yeah, and you find out why, and all, like it all gets explained, but it's like, you know, me and my wife are sitting next to each other, and like half an hour into the movie, we're like, okay, so here's what's going on. We're like, this is what happened here, and this is who this is, and this is who this person is, and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, it's not a sophisticated movie. It's for kids.
Yeah.
I'm sure my kids were surprised by the twists and turns in the movie.
But
we were not.
You've seen Murder on the Orient Express. You know what's happening.
To judge it on those terms is unfair. Like I said, you know, it was an enjoyable watch. It's a fun movie. If you're into Pokemon, watch the movie, because like there's Pokemon everywhere in this movie.
I know maybe two names. I know Pikachu,
mm-hmm,
and
Squirtle.
That's the only one that I know.
Charizard?
Bulbasaur?
I don't know Bulbasaur.
No? That's one of the starters,
Bulbasaur?
Man.
Bulbasaur?
Charizard?
Bulbasaur Getty?
Charmander.
Charmander.
Is the, that's the other. So those are your starters. Those are your starter Pokemon.
How many Pokemon can you name?
Probably less than I'd say probably less than 20 if I tried really hard.
20 is a lot, man.
That's a lot to us.
So
I can name three.
There's like 700, and I'm pretty sure.
Wow.
Oh yeah, and I'm pretty sure my daughter knows all of them.
Are they all in the movie?
There's a lot of them in the movie.
Okay. So fan service. Which is
good. The neckbeard sitting next to me in the theater wanted everyone to know that he knew what every one of them
there's
was.
There's always that guy.
Yeah. Oh
always
God.
That guy.
It's like, dude, I get it. You like Pokemon. Shut the fuck up. Like,
go home to your non-girlfriend.
Don't be that guy.
Oh, man. We're seeing Rocket Man soon, which is I'm sort of looking forward to it. I've heard good things about it. I have only heard
that it's a thing. I don't know anything else about it other than it's coming out. That's it.
It's an Elton John biopic with Taron Egerton?
Something like that. Yeah.
Is that the kid that was in Kingsman?
Kingsman,
so
yeah.
If you've seen the Kingsman Secret Circle, the second movie, Taron Egerton is in that movie with Elton John. Now he's playing Elton John in his next movie.
Okay.
A little weird.
Yeah.
And I gotta go see Endgame again. I've only seen it once.
I have seen it twice, and I mentioned before we started that it rewards a second viewing. So I mean, it's also just a hell of a lot of fun.
Yes,
so go
it
see
is.
It again.
And Brightburn. I want to see Brightburn.
I should be seeing that this weekend, if plans bear out. I haven't mentioned this yet on the show, but I would be remiss if I missed it. I have been watching the What We Do in the Shadows TV series.
I have them all recorded. I haven't started it yet.
It's
I'm waiting.
So good. I'm two episodes behind, I think, at this point. Well, maybe as of tonight.
Okay.
I think it puts me two episodes behind, I think. It's awesome. If you like the movie, it is just like that. And maybe in some ways better. Like,
really?
You haven't watched any of it at all
no.
yet?
No.
Okay.
I've been waiting to. I didn't really have a lot of time for a while.
I'm surprised at how my personal ranking of how much I like the different characters has played out versus what I thought it was going to be. Because when I found out Matt Berry was going to be in this as one of the vampires, I'm like, oh, fuck, this is going to be brilliant. Matt Berry's one of the
Who is Matt Berry?
You ever watch the IT Crowd?
I never did.
It's a great series. Hilarious. It's one of my favorites. I love IT Crowd. But he was... he was one of the main characters starting in the second season. He becomes a main character all the way through, and he's hilarious. He's been in some other things. He was in an episode of Portlandia. He was. I've seen him in other kind of small roles like that.
Yeah.
I'm not super familiar with a lot of his work, but he's really funny in IT Crowd.
Okay.
And so when I saw that he was going to be one of the vampires, I'm like, oh well, he's going to be my favorite. He's not even close to my favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
I have them all recorded. I learned right. This is annoying me. I actually downloaded them on my iPad.
That's right.
To watch them on the airplane going to California. I'm like, okay, I'm going to download the first four episodes. I'm going to watch them. And then I get on the plane and they're not fucking there. I'm like, what the hell? I was so mad. And I was like, oh, come on. And I downloaded, we have the Movies Anywhere app.
Uh-huh.
I downloaded a movie there to watch there on the plane too. I got on the plane and wasn't there either. I'm like, what the fuck happened?
The plane wiped your iPad.
It cleaned out my memory or something. Yeah. I don't know what happened.
Not mine. I enjoyed Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's true.
And I was watching iZombie and Spider-Man animated.
You deleted my shit. That's what happened.
No.
So one of the vampires is a psychic vampire.
Nice.
And he looks normal, like a boring cubicle jockey, which is what he is.
Yeah.
But he works a cubicle job because it's the most effective feeding ground for him. Because he just feeds off of everybody's negative emotions.
Oh.
He's probably my favorite one. The writing for him and the guy who plays him are fucking brilliant.
Is Taika Waititi actually involved in the show?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So was Jermaine Clement.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
So they are involved in the writing and production of the show. So it's the same humor. It's the same, you know, kinds of jokes and delivery. And
yeah, I need to start watching this.
The same kind of...
And I got picked up for a second season already.
Yeah, it did. It gets some of those kind of unexpected twists on vampire lore. Like, you wouldn't think about vampire lore in this context. What can we do that's funny in this context with, you know, that kind of thing? But no, it's great. I'm really enjoying it. So if you liked the movie, watch the show. They take place in the same universe.
Yeah. I would imagine, yeah.
This one, the movie took place in New Zealand. The show takes place on Staten Island in New York.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I before we go, I still got to recommend Doom Patrol on the DC Universe. Such an amazing, weird, wacky, amazing show. I freaking love it.
Which one is that?
Doom Patrol?
Yeah.
It's on the DC Universe app.
I think I've been seeing ads for that.
Yeah, they just started advertising
really weird stylized.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
It's I mean the cast is great. I mean I love everything about it. It's as weird and fucked up as you think it would be. It is.
Okay.
It's such an amazing show. Like Cyborg is in it. Not the crappy Justice League version, though. I definitely recommend it. Try to get a free trial. Whatever you got to do to watch it, please watch that show.
Okay.
So you're saying you like it?
Yeah, I like it a little
bit.
Okay. It's okay. It's serviceable. All right, so let's move on to our trip geekery. You ready?
Do it.
Welcome back to the show, my friends. This is the topic for the week. We're going to talk about our trip to Disneyland and our visit with to Toby. See our visit with Toby.
Toby and the Tobets.
Toby and the Tobets.
Yes.
Aventasia in Anaheim, California. So I know you've mentioned you've never been to Disneyland. Is that correct?
No, I've been to Disneyland, but last time I was there, DCA didn't exist.
Ah.
So it's been a while.
Yeah. When did that open? Like in 2003-ish, maybe?
Something like.
I
think it was before that. Didn't DCA open in the late 90s?
I'm trying to remember now. But, you know,
we'll look it up.
We'll look it up. What was your memory of being in Disneyland?
It was formative, that's for sure. So I went to Disneyland several times as a kid. I didn't go to Disney World for the first time until I was 24.
Oh.
It was my first time to Disney World. So Disneyland was my Disney park experience up to that
2001.
Point.
2001, yeah.
Okay.
I was right.
You said 3.
I was close.
Ish.
2 years is good.
Plus or minus margin of error, right?
But it's not. It wasn't what it is now when it opened. That's for damn sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Let's talk about the trip. I think we had a phenomenal trip. We did 5 days. Well, it was more like 4.5 days in the park. But the first day we got there, we didn't get into the park till about 8 p.m. and it closed at midnight. So we did like Fantasmic that night and a couple rides.
Yeah.
But the next day was our sort of first full day in the park. We didn't stay the whole day because we left early to go to the Aventasia show. But I will tell you, the Disneyland app, it's freaking amazing. I haven't been to Disney World since they've really updated their app, but the 3 full days that we were there, we bought Max Pass. Do you know what that is yet?
Mm-mm.
So Max Pass is, you pay, it's $15 per person for the day. Totally worth it. It includes fast passes and all your photos with your photo pass.
Okay.
Amazingly worth it. So if you get there early,
that is a good deal.
It used to be $10 when they introduced it, but they've jacked it up.
Imagine the demand went through the roof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
$10 upcharge at Disney is fucking nothing.
No, nothing. Correct. Even at $15, I felt it was totally worth it. So for example, the first day that we used it, we got there probably 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, whatever it was. You can't activate it until you walk in, use your ticket, and get into the park.
Nice. Okay.
But you can...
Now, let me interrupt you real quick.
Yeah.
Disneyland doesn't otherwise have a fast pass
system
like Walt Disney World.
No.
Right?
Well, there is a still paper ticket.
Yeah,
for
right.
the general
public. You still have to be there in person. You still have to go collect them. That's what I'm saying. Like, yes. At Disney World, you can book Fast Passes a month out before your trip.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
They don't have anything
you
like that.
You cannot do that at Disneyland. Yeah. You have to be on premises. You can either do it with this app, or you can do it the old school, the old fashioned way.
Run to Radiator Springs to get your pass.
Run to the thing, put your ticket in there, get your pass, run to the next one. This avoids all that. So you go in there, the first thing you want to do is go to your first attraction that you want to do. So I think with Hyperspace Mountain, which is right now, since they're getting ready for Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, they have converted Spice Mountain back into Hyperspace Mountain, which is their Star Wars overlay, which is fucking amazing. I don't want to see Space Mountain without it now.
Yeah.
It's so good.
That was my first roller coaster, I think.
Probably mine, too.
Was Space Mountain.
And the one
the first one I remember.
The one at Disneyland is much, much better than the one in Florida. There's a few attractions much better in Disneyland.
Yeah,
for some reason.
Are.
One of them is Space Mountain. Another one is Big Thunder Mountain. I love the one in Disneyland so much better. And then Pirates.
The Pirates in Disneyland is like an extra 50% longer. Like, there's at least, if not double the length of the one in Florida.
Yes, for sure.
I thought so too.
For definitely.
Yeah.
There's whole sequences. Cause like I said, that was my early Disney experience was Disneyland.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, going on Pirates in Florida, enjoying it. It's fun. I like doing it. I'll go on it over and over and over. But like, there were whole sequences missing that I'm like, where was this part? Where right. was this thing? Where-
I mean, the purpose of the drops in Disneyland is actually to get under the train tracks
right.
and to get outside of the park berm right. so you could have the attraction area.
Mm-hmm.
They used to put it in Florida because like, oh, the one in Disneyland has a drop, so we have to put one.
Mm-hmm.
The one in California actually has two drops.
Yes, and I remember that.
They've redone a lot of stuff now, so... you know, of course, you go the first part of it when you start. You go by the Blue Bayou restaurant, and
that was always one of my favorite parts of that too. And then I only was able to eat in Blue Bayou once that I recall.
I've only eaten there once.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah.
It's like the Mexico Pavilion in
yes,
Epcot.
Very much yes. so. That once you're in there long enough, you start to feel like it's actually nighttime, and like you kind of get over the like where you're looking for all of the ceiling tiles and shit and whatever, and you just kind of relax and you kind of go, and then you step back outside and it's 90 degrees.
Yeah.
And
I gotta say, there was some weird cold front in California the week we were there. The highest it got was like 67 degrees.
You bastard.
But the sun was out a lot of time, so it was hot during the middle of the day, but it was still cold outside. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But you still had the sun beating down on you. I mean, you'd have to wear a hoodie in the morning and then at night.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
What we wound up doing is buying one of their big Disneyland bags. Like, you buy, like, you know, you go to the grocery store, you get the big
reusable
bags.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They sell Disneyland ones, so we just bought one of those and stuck our hoodies in there, and then at nighttime to put them back on.
I carry a backpack at Disney World for that purpose. Like, I don't load it with anything. I just carry one because it's like something's going in here,
right?
Sure.
So I'll carry a change of socks and flip-flops.
A change of socks one day because we got caught in the rain one day. Holy crap.
I tell you, if you're a rookie Disney parks goer or any kind of major theme park goer, take a change of socks with you. It's going to change your whole fucking day.
We were luckily the hotel we were at. We'll get back to the Max Pass in a minute, but the hotel that we spent a lot of time looking at hotels. And you know, Disneyland, all the hotels are like right across the street. We stayed one a little bit further down on Disney Way and Clementine. It was I can't always forget the name of it.
The Country Inn.
Country
Suites.
Inn, thank you. We got a good deal on it because, you know, once you book your hotel through Expedia, they give you a good hotel rate. And I thought we had a great rate. We had a huge fucking room, man. We had like a living room with like, we had two TVs in our room. We had a little kitchen area. It was not bad. And it was less than a mile walk to the park.
Nice.
I mean, it's really not that bad. You just walk down Disney Way, and you were at what's the name of the street? It was the street behind So if any of my Disneyland nerds know what I'm talking about, it's, I think it was Harbor Boulevard. So it's where all the Ubers and Lyfts pick you up and all the buses in that back area. Okay. So you're not going, it's the opposite area of walking through the entrance of Downtown Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot less crowded. The bag check is barely non-existent there. You don't have to wait for a long time. I loved it. It was great.
And the best part, free breakfast and free parking.
That's right. We had a free breakfast buffet at
the
this hotel.
Is great. Yeah.
They went, okay, so the first night, the first morning we were there, they had bacon on the buffet. The next couple days, they didn't. So I made a comment one morning. I was like, hey, I noticed you guys don't have bacon on the buffet today, and it's been like that for the past few days. He's like, oh, you want bacon? I was like, oh, I was just asking why you didn't have it. He's like, I'm going to make you bacon. So, and it was one of the managers, and he got one of the chefs, and he's like, they brought us out a plate of bacon specially made for us.
I hope it was excessive. What was it, an excessive amount of bacon?
It was a decent amount. It was serviceable amount. Okay.
Serviceable. Of bacon. It was drink like, every time you hear the word serviceable.
It was maybe 5 or 6 pieces. You know, but it was
ample for both.
They
of
went
us.
Out of their way to do this. Everybody at that hotel, I think, went out of their way. It felt like staying on Disney property, but
that's
weren't.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because
I've stayed in hotels in that area, and they're like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
About you or about Disney or any of that kind of stuff.
We got your money. We don't care.
But they did. The guy that made the bacon came back, and he's like, here's my card. He's like, you can go here on Yelp and give us a review. So I did. It was great. We chose them because there was free parking, and all the hotels that are walking like right across the street, all around it, they're going to charge you like $20 for parking.
Well,
every
I wouldn't
day.
Say it's probably free. It's just kind of rolled into the price. Because you know, I think
well,
it was
we got
a
decent enough
more.
Price.
Oh
I
no,
say.
We still got a great price, but it was still a little bit, I think, higher than.
And there
the
was still a
free
there
parking.
Was still a resort service.
So it's
kind of
rolled
too.
Into like Vegas, I think.
There's like a, I don't remember how much it was per day, but it was maybe $10 per day.
I don't know.
Per night. It was okay. But we got Wi-Fi and whatever. If you save $10 on breakfast by having a free breakfast buffet, it was worth it. You know what
oh,
I mean?
Yeah. In the end, it was definitely worth it.
And it was serviceable.
More than serviceable.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, take a drink.
You need another drink, dude.
I guess.
I don't know why I started saying serviceable. I heard it somewhere, and I started saying it on this trip a lot.
Yes.
She's like, how was that? I'm like, it was serviceable. So going back to the Fast Pass, we really utilized that a lot because it was so easy to pick up on your phone. I wish I could show it to you now, dude, how easy it was. You pick – so like the first day, we were like, okay, so we're going to go to Space Mountain. What do we want to do next? So you pick your Fast Pass. And the earlier in the day, there's only like a half an hour to an hour wait time. So if like your first attraction is like 10:15, at 10:15 you can book your next Fast Pass. And there was times where we had 3 Fast Passes at a time. It's like there was definitely times on this trip where like, what do you want to do now? I've sort of run out of things that I want to do again.
Yeah.
We rode Hyperspace Mountain like 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
We seriously rode Big Thunder Mountain just so we could see Galaxy's Edge a lot.
Yeah.
We rode it 7 times on this trip.
It's a great ride, but yeah, that was the
ride.
Bonus. Mm. A little
could,
peak of Galaxy's
went,
Edge.
On the second lift hill, off to the left, you could see totally into Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. Which sucked because like the entrances to Galaxy's Edge, if you remember behind Big Thunder, there's Big Thunder Mountain Trail. Which used to go to like a place, there's a restaurant back there and a couple things.
Okay.
And to the left is the Hungry Bear restaurant where Splash Mountain and all that is. Mm-hmm. There's an entrance over there. There's an entrance in the middle right behind Big Thunder, and there's an entrance off to the right a little bit. Every time we walk by there to get to Fantasyland, we could see the cast member there because they were doing cast member previews all fucking week.
I guess it's worth mentioning that. As of this recording,
right
Galaxy's
now.
Edge is still not open to the public.
Well,
but it's about to be.
Tomorrow. Right now, as we're recording, they're doing their big opening, their grand opening, and they're doing media preview night.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow is the first time you could, for people that have reservations, can start showing up. the live stream for the dedication is starting right now as we're talking. It's so
jerks.
I know. I didn't think I was going to feel as bad about not being there, about not being able to go in.
You were thinking, I'm going to get in before Disney opens their Star Wars land.
No, I know they weren't going to let me in.
No. I know. But you're thinking, I'm going to go visit the parks before it goes completely apeshit.
Yes.
But then you get there and you're like, oh, man. But
That's exactly what happened. Right, yes. So close.
We were in, we could fucking see it. Why can't we go in? Oh, this hurt.
He's like, can y'all hire me just for one day?
I did. I asked one of the cast members. I'm like, I know it's cast member preview. I need a job just for a day. I'll go pick up popcorn. I don't care what it is.
Meanwhile, it takes a month just to get the HR paperwork taken care of.
That's okay. We can live there for a month and get in. We'll go back. I sort of want to wait for both attractions to open anyways, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But we were watching some videos before we recorded about Galaxy's Edge, and it does look amazing. I know it's going to get crowded.
It really does. Yeah.
It's going to get crowded.
We were watching some of the walkthrough footage, and one of the things that I think all of us kind of noticed at some point or another was, man, a lot of these passageways seem really narrow.
Yeah.
I haven't been there yet, though I may be later this year. Wasn't that a complaint that y'all had about the Diagon Alley in
the
Harry Potter thing that was...
There are some parts that are very narrow, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like the cantina in Galaxy's Edge can only hold like 30 people at a time.
That's just weird.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That does not make sense to me. I know they're trying to keep it,
it moving.
Well, not to keep it moving, but keep it like the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just, your throughput is not going to be, you want people to buy your $15 to $42 drink.
Thank you.
There's a $75 Rancor beer flight you can buy.
How many drinks does that get you?
I think it's like four or five different beers.
That is not enough.
No. But you get to keep the whatever. I don't know. I wouldn't pay that. Number one, I don't drink beer. But number two, that's fucking expensive.
I drink
expensive.
Beer. I'm not doing that.
The drinks, I mean, you're at Disneyland. Everything is going to be expensive, no matter what. You got to sort of prepare for that. Especially, this is something brand new, Star Wars Land. It's going to be expensive.
What I do want, and I told you this earlier, what I do want is one of the special Coca-Cola bottles from Galaxy's Edge, because I'm kind of a Coca-Cola nut. I don't collect Coca-Cola memorabilia, but I'm fascinated by Coca-Cola memorabilia, old signs and all that kind of stuff.
It's a big thing.
I want one of these.
Do you freak out when you go to the Coke store in Disney?
Not as much as you might think, but, you know, I like that it's there.
I have a cousin that actually collects old Coca-Cola bottles.
Yeah.
Just different bottles. And I mean, if it was open, I would have definitely got you one.
Yeah. I do want one of those bottles. If you haven't seen them, I saw them on, what was it? It was, I don't even remember what it was from. It was
the
some
Star
panel.
Wars Celebration.
Yes, it was from the Star Wars Celebration in Chicago. That's right. That was when they revealed it. It's got the so Coca-Cola has been a long time sponsor of the Disney parks.
Thankfully,
yes. Thank goodness.
Thank God it's not Pepsi.
Yeah. They did a custom Coca-Cola logo. In Erebish that
that's awesome.
I mean, it looks super cool. But what's also really cool about it is that you know immediately what it is. Even if you don't know anything about Erebish, you can look at it and go, "Oh, that's a Coca-Cola logo."
Yep. Yeah, totally.
But it
sort of still looks like it.
The bottles themselves look like maybe repurposed thermal detonators and like various other like repurposed stuff from the Star Wars world.
There's a Coke one, there's a Diet Coke, and there's a Dasani water.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the three drinks. Coke products are not cheap in the park. I'll tell you that much. They're like $4.50 for a bottle of Coke.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy. Everything is expensive.
Well, you know that going in, though.
You do.
I mean, to be fair, like, that's not just Disney. Like, that's...
Yeah. Anything part.
That's Renaissance festivals.
Look at,
that's, yeah.
Yeah. I think the best deal you can do, if you're eating dinner, you get a large soda for $4.19, and you just get refills. Like, do you want a refill? No, not really. Get it anyways.
Mm-hmm.
You know? We did that a few times. But it's weird. One of my favorite restaurants to eat there is the Mexican restaurant right next to Big Thunder Mountain. I don't know why, but there's a secret menu item that we found out about. There's secret menu items everywhere at Disney. Hmm. They have a burrito that's fucking as big as your head that has all the meat and every single topping you could think of in this thing.
Hmm.
All you have to do is ask for it. And it's like the same price as a regular burrito. Like the first night we did that, I'm like, we could have shared this.
Yeah.
Because we ate like half of it. It was crazy big. But I will tell you, my favorite new thing at Disneyland, have you heard of the Tropical Hideaway now?
I don't guess so.
So if you remember Disneyland, you know where when you're coming off Main Street and you have the Tiki Room off to your left and mm-hmm. there's the Dole Whips. And between that and where Jungle Cruise is this area now. It used to be for – it was an Aladdin dinner theater thing for a while. Then they had meet and greets in there. But now it's called the Tropical Hideaway.
Okay.
And there's three different stations in there. The first one is a Dole Whip station. But they have like different flavors. They have like an orange and pineapple one.
I'm into the orange and pineapple.
Yeah. There's a raspberry one.
I'm less into that.
But they have they have the loaded whip. I'm sorry, whip.
Does that have rum in it?
It does not. But we did have a Dole Whip with rum at Trader Sam's.
Okay,
yeah.
That was delicious.
Okay,
but okay, this thing is fucking amazing, dude. It's it's a bowl of orange and pineapple Dole Whip mixed mm-hmm. together. It has fresh fruit in it. It's like four different types of exotic fruit.
Okay.
Like pineapple, mandarin,
mango,
two or three other ones. It has coconut flakes in it. It has crystallized hibiscus.
Yeah.
Never heard of such.
It's fucking good.
Yeah.
Apparently you can buy it and put it on your stuff. It's amazing. And then it has pocky sticks in it.
Okay.
For some reason, pocky sticks and this Dole Whip work so well together.
What
this
kind
thing,
of pocky sticks?
Was chocolate. It
chocolate.
The chocolate,
chocolate
pocky chocolate, sticks, yeah. Yeah. And like the last night we got one, it was like there was like 10 of them in there. It was like an overabundance of them.
And we asked for extra fruit, didn't we? Or something.
We asked for extra fruit the last time. Dude, this thing is so good. It's like $8, but it's worth it. But they also have bao buns in this place. And what's the other thing they have? It's like these. I think the same thing they have in Animal Kingdom, which I haven't had them. They're like sort of like egg roll filled with like cream cheese and like pineapple.
It's
like sugar lumpia. That's what they are.
Yeah, cream cheese, dull pineapple, and dipping sauce.
I don't like cream cheese, but I tried it. Wasn't my favorite thing, but man, these loaded Dole Whips.
Yeah, that was great.
Amazing.
Sounds good.
It's our new thing.
I mean, yeah, it's your new thing.
No more Mickey ears. Sorry. I mean, Mickey ears is great.
We had one Mickey ear the whole trip.
I mean, got to have the Mickey ear ice cream.
Have to. My favorite thing is also the dark chocolate covered pineapple spear.
It was
fucking huge this time. We had one the whole trip. We're like, you know what? I'm good with that. That was way too much.
I'm totally intrigued by this pineapple / orange Dole Whip, though. That sounds...
You know, you can go to... What's the Orange Leaf? Have you been to Orange Leaf?
Mm-mm.
It's a frozen yogurt place. They have them here in all around town. But they actually have Dole Whip, Dole Soft Serve frozen yogurt on tap most of the time.
Hmm.
And they also have an orange one, Dole Orange, so you can make it there.
Okay.
And we do that. I think we're going to try to recreate this thing next time we go there.
Yeah.
Bring our own pocky sticks, buy some like crystallized hibiscus and some coconut. They already got coconut flakes there because every time I go there, that's the picture right there. Yeah.
It's really good.
What's the got like a dumpling over here?
Oh, that's the bao thing.
Okay.
You ever had a bao
meat
bun?
Side.
Yeah, they're pretty good. It's like a steamed bun with there. We tried two different ones. One was like
the lime chicken one, which. It was okay.
It had something weird in it, right? What was in the lime chicken?
It had butternut squash. It just
there you go.
Wasn't as flavorful I thought, or it needed some like hot sauce or something.
The beef bulgogi one was really good. Had that like hoisin flavor to it inside of it.
Yeah,
and some like veggies and like spices and stuff. It was pretty good. And they gave you the, you can then give you, it's Disney, they don't give you anything. You can buy a side of their spicy sauce. It was like 59 cents. And it was really spicy.
That seems petty at that point.
I know, right?
A 59 cent upcharge? Fuck you, Disney. Just give me the damn thing.
Because like, it was kind of dry, so we kind of needed it.
Yeah, you do. But it was delicious, though. I mean, it was good. That's what I like about Disney now. It's not just burgers and chicken fingers everywhere now.
Apparently, I haven't been to Disneyland since I was a kid, but since I've started going to Disney World, yeah. One of the things that I've always been hearing is like, oh, the food at Disney World is so much better than the food at Disneyland. Disneyland's all burgers and french fries.
Nope. Untrue.
So not true anymore.
Not true anymore. Disneyland actually has better food, in my opinion, than Disney World does. So one of the days we met up with our friend Paul Berry from Window to the Magic.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't listen to the Window to the Magic podcast, you really need to. He's been doing it almost as long as I have. And we see him every time we go out to Disneyland. We met him.
This was my question. I let you finish. But okay, What I was wondering was, because I saw that post,
yeah,
was like, now, did y'all set this up, or did you just run into this guy?
No, he's
there, like, all the time.
No, he is. We message him.
Okay.
And we rearranged it.
Okay.
Every time we've been there. This is, like, our third time hanging out with him. He was telling us all about he just got back from a two-week trip to, where is he at? He was in Germany, Amsterdam, Netherlands. He went to all these places, and he went to Disneyland Paris. He went to Europa Park and something.
Did he go to Disneyland Paris because they've reopened Phantom Manor?
Yes.
With the Vincent Price voiceover?
Yes. He was talking about
because I'm stoked about that personally.
Yes.
Yeah, he was talking about that.
He said he had just reopened when he went.
Yeah.
I mean, like, just reopened.
It's been pretty recent.
I think, truthfully, that's probably going to be our next Disney trip, is possibly Disneyland Paris.
What do you think about that? Does that sound right to you?
I'm game.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, there's other things to do. We'll definitely have to go to London and do all that kind of stuff.
I was like, yeah, how close is it to
I mean, the bullet train is so close.
London's cool.
I have never been there.
Yeah.
But going back to, I hadn't been to Knott's Berry's farm.
London's confusing as hell is what it is.
Is it?
Oh.
The streets there they're all like 1,000 years old and they don't make any fucking sense.
Yeah.
Like you won't be able to find anything. But
I just want to go to the Winchester and get a pint.
Get a pint until this whole thing blows over.
Right.
I want to go to Cardiff and see if they're doing Doctor Who. No.
So we hadn't been. I hadn't been to Knott's Berry Farm in at least 25 years, at least. Have you been there?
No, I remember. I remember my trips to Disneyland as a kid, seeing Knott's Berry Farm because it's like just down the road from Disneyland.
It's
basically
maybe less than 10 minutes away.
Yeah, and I remember we after a day at Disneyland, we ended up at some kind of like an IHOP kind of diner. Like right across the street from Knott's Berry Farm at one point. I remember sitting there and looking out the window and I could see the roller coasters and stuff at Knott's Berry Farm. But no, I've never actually been in.
So Knott's Berry Farm is a weird park. It's one of the oldest parks in America.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause I mean, it started off as just a themed, area with like,
well,
you know, the old West
it
area.
It was actually like a berry farm at one point, wasn't it?
Yeah. But now, Paul was telling us a story about how the hippies took over or something in the 60s, and they had to put somebody was telling us about that.
Might have been Jim.
It might have been. They had to, start charging people and put fences up and make it into a theme park.
Okay.
But they started putting rides in there and all this kind of stuff. But, oh my God, there's this ride. I have to show you a video. I have it. It's called Hang Time. First ride I did of the day, or second ride, first roller coaster I did of the day. This thing goes up at a 90-degree angle, mm-hmm. goes up to the top, and sort of hangs there for it felt like an eternity.
I think I saw the clip of it. You posted it on Facebook.
It was maybe like a 10-15 second hang time.
Feels like an eternity.
It does, dude. And then it goes down. The first drop is at a 92-degree angle.
Inverted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just, oh, it's so good. The roller coasters there were really phenomenal. And by the time, you know, 1-2 o'clock got around, it got really busy. There was a lot of school groups there. Okay. Everything from like, you know, sixth graders to like, you know, grad people. So
grad people.
It was
grad people. Like grad people.
Grad people. I mean, it was like they're all at Disneyland too. It was grad munch. I mean, there's nothing you can really do about it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I gotta say, we couldn't find a place for lunch. We wound up, where did we go?
No, it was just so packed with all the students.
We were like, there wasn't anything that sounded good. Well, it's like, can get a burger here. Or like the barbecue place was like, you know, half chicken.
It had like ribs and chicken with bone, which we're not a big fan of.
We wound up at Panda Express.
Yeah.
Panda
that was
Express
the alternative.
The part. And it worked out really well. We shared like a meal combo, and it worked out really, really well. Because we were meeting Paul that night at Mrs. Knott's Chicken Restaurant.
Yeah.
World famous fried chicken and all that kind of stuff. Don't hate me. I'm not a huge fried chicken fan. It was okay. It was serviceable.
Drink.
Hold on. I got to drink too. I got to play. I mean, it was a great company and everything.
That one was all whiskey.
But down to the bottom.
Yeah, I'm at the bottom.
I did have the boy. One of the things Knott's is known for is boysenberry.
Mm-hmm.
So with your meal, I tried the boysenberry punch. It's, think of, you know, Delaware punch at James Coney Island.
I've never been. I have gotten food from James Coney Island once, and that was enough.
Oh, wow. But so they have this boysenberry punch there, and it was good. We had the boysenberry icy earlier. You tried a jelly bean.
I did.
You're not a big fan of the flavor, huh?
I'm not huge on jelly beans to begin with. I have to very much be in the mood, and that's rare. Second, I'm not big on most berry flavors. Mm. I like a couple of berries, and generally I don't like artificial berry flavor stuff.
Well, the dessert that you get at dinner, you can either get with an apple or peach or something, or you can get boysenberry pie. So, of course, you have to try the boysenberry pie while you're there, and it was damn good. It's no artificial flavor about that at all.
I might try that.
Then after that, we took the car over to Disneyland Hotel and went to Trader Sam's. Had some really expensive, delicious drinks, and had our Dole Whip with rum in it.
Mm-hmm.
And got a little – it was fun. I like Trader Sam's a lot at Disneyland. It's so much nicer than the one at Florida at the Polynesian. It's bigger. They've expanded it out now. So before it's Trader Sam's over here to the right, and there's all this outdoor seating. They had like the fire pit going, and they had the the big tiki torches going. And Tangaroa Terrace is the sort of the fast food thing for the hotel there, and it's all sort of Polynesian based. Mm-hmm. So it's really good food. We ate there last time, and we ate there again for lunch one day. But it's not one big open thing. You can get drinks at both bars now, and they, no matter where you're sitting, they'll come out and serve you. It's like one place now, so, which makes a lot more sense than it was before.
Okay.
But we were so full from dinner, we didn't order anything that night. But we went back a couple of days later and got lunch there. I don't know if you've done this on the Disney World app, but you can order your food on the app. Have you tried?
Never
that?
Done that before. Is that how recent is that?
Maybe last couple years. I haven't done it at Disney World. We did it at Disneyland multiple times. So we decided we're going to go get lunch at Tangaroa Terrace. We got on the monorail from Tomorrowland. And it takes you to the outskirts of downtown Disney, which is a short walking distance to Disneyland Hotel where it was. So when we got on we ordered our food. And then what you do is you click when you get there. You're like, we're here. Make our food. So it's not just sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
But you do it a few minutes before as you're walking up, click your order, make my order. You get there, you say, hey, here's my mobile order, and your food's ready to go.
Nice.
It worked out beautifully. We did that one day in the park where I wanted to get something from one restaurant. Yes. She wanted something for a different restaurant. So we just ordered it on the app and then picked it up and went to one place and ate it together.
Nice.
Yeah. That worked out
very
well.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. What did you have? The bread bowl with something?
Oh, gosh. I can't remember now.
It was some lobster bread bowl.
Yeah. It was like lobster mac and cheese.
Lobster mac and cheese. That's what it bread is. Bowl.
That sounds pretty good. Was it pretty good?
Minuscule amount of yeah. lobster.
Well, I imagine.
Yeah.
And it was good. Yeah. It was bread. It was carbs. We don't eat it that often, so the bread bowl was great.
Yeah. And I had the grilled cheese from Jolly Holiday Bakery.
Oh, yeah, with
they
the
like
jam
a
or jelly.
Cheese, with like bacon and like blackberry jam and stuff. That was good.
Was it your jam?
Actually, boysenberry is my jam now.
Okay.
I didn't buy any though, but I don't know. So
this just occurred to me. It's not something that I've really thought about. What kind of state is Star Tours in out there?
Amazing.
And it's on the complete opposite side of the park from where Galaxy's Edge is, though.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't really considered that much up to this point. So
he's in Tomorrowland.
Yeah.
At Disneyland. Rami rode it like 4 or 5 times, which is going to lead me to my next story, which is really cool. Which is going to lead to, since George isn't here, we're still going to do a George Hates Metal. But we're just going to listen to the band and we're going to talk about it.
Okay.
We rode it 4 or 5 times, maybe 6. Because, you know, it's all randomized what you get now. Mm-hmm. One of the ending now is actually landing in Batuu, which is the planet for Galaxy's Edge.
Right, yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
I am trying to remember I think the last time I was at Disney World, I got that as an ending.
You might have. I don't know how long it's been going.
I think it's
probably
been going for a while.
Yeah.
Because I seem to remember that being one of our landing spots the last time I was at Disney World was, I was like, oh, we're landing in Galaxy's Edge right now. I kind of recall that. So I may be making that up, though.
So, you know, we've talked about this on the show where if you go to a metal show and you don't know somebody, you don't talk to that person, right? But if you're in a place like Disneyland and you meet somebody that's wearing a metal shirt or a
battle jacket,
instant friend.
So we met a couple of people. One, we met him in the line for where we're going into the Tiki Room. And he was like total fucking like death metal guy. We're like, all right, hey, man, what's up? But the second to last night, we were going into Star Tours. And they put us in the row. And this couple came up right behind us. And I looked at this guy's jacket. He had long hair, big beard. Looked at it. He was wearing a battle jacket, but it had like Disney stuff on it. So we start talking to these dudes, and this guy's a lead singer in a metal band called When the Broken Burn.
Mm-hmm.
And we wound up hanging out with him like most of that night, and then we ran into him the next day. We hung out with him for a while that day. Instant friends.
Yeah.
It's so weird that it's like, hey, metalhead, all right, let's talk, let's hang out.
That's like I've seen the meme take several different forms. There's a couple of different photos that usually accompany it, but there's the meme basically reads, when you're the only metalhead at Disney.
No, yeah,
you're never the only metalhead at Disney.
They're there.
I promise you're
some
not.
Some of them might be incognito, but they're there.
Yes, they
like
are.
Like me, I wasn't wearing like metal shirts every day. I was probably my uniform camo shorts and a black shirt.
Yep.
But, you know, these guys are really cool. Nick and his wife, Grace. Super cool people.
Yeah.
We hung out with them. We actually saw the Aladdin preview with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Watched the parade. We went on Haunted Mansion with them a few times. It was very cool to meet these guys. And if you guys are listening to the show now, it was awesome to meet you. And we're going to play your band. How about that? How about them apples? what else are we missing about the trip?
You forgot one of the first rides we did at
California Adventure.
California Adventure.
The Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep.
Mission Breakout.
What do you think?
Okay. I really liked it.
Okay.
I've
seen video of it. It actually looks pretty cool.
I would be mad if they changed the one in Florida.
I will be pissed.
But I understand why they did the one in Florida. The one in... Okay, so the Tower of Terror at Disney at California Adventure is not as good as the one in Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, it misses an element.
It doesn't go up and then forward and then down. Mm-hmm. It's just like up and then it does the stuff and it comes down. So it definitely made sense to do this transformation because the whole area around it is being transformed into Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
Like, okay, is it?
Oh, yeah.
Because,
yeah.
Like, I know that when they completed the facade for it, it's, like, garish and bizarre and apparently seems really out of place.
It is garish and bizarre.
It is flashy,
but,
yeah.
So the whole area that was a Bugs Land, that is the area between that back part of the park and, like, the main thoroughfare, which gets you, like, Cars Land, all that.
Mm-hmm.
Is actually all boarded up. It has like Stark Industries logos
okay.
on it now.
Yeah. Okay.
And
okay.
we could actually see part of the building of the Spider-Man attraction that they're making. There's no official name or any of that kind of stuff yet, but they said the first attraction is Spider-Man.
Okay.
And there's going to be an Avengers thing there. So we'll definitely have to go back for that. Yeah. But I really, really enjoyed Guardians. You did it once.
I did it once.
So. And it's randomized, too. So there's, like, six different songs you can get. And there's sections of the ride where it opens up the screen in front of you. You can see there's different things going on with the Guardians fighting different monsters or whatever.
And you wear 3D glasses in this one, right?
I do not.
No?
No.
No 3D-ness.
I thought you did. I don't know why.
But the premise of the ride is the Collector has captured the Guardians.
Right, yeah.
And has made them this new exhibit. So you're going there to visit see the Guardians in their new habitat, whatever. And you get in the gantry lift, and Rocket has escaped, and he's So that's basically the whole.
Because I know in the room that had been like the study for Tower of Terror, I don't remember like Rocket shows up in there.
Okay,
kind of.
I was upset with that because. The three times that I wrote it...
I never saw that when I was on it.
We had B-mode.
Aww.
So, apparently, there's an animatronic that runs around the top.
Yeah.
But we only saw it on the screen. So, we saw the B-mode where, like, it's the Collector like, hey, come visit my new attraction, blah, blah, blah. And then Rocket's on screen and does the same spiel that he does as the animatronic, but it's just on the screen.
Huh. Yeah.
Disappointed. It's like the B-mode... At Expedition Everest.
You start just putting a strobe light on the Yeti or something. Yeah,
exactly. It's Yeti strobe light for this. Now that I think about it, I'm sort of upset about that. Damn it. And I wrote it three times.
Means you'll have to go back.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I've seen video of the animatronic, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where I got that from. I watched a video of it, and I remembered that was the part of it that stood out to me the most, because it made the most sense in YouTube video form.
Yeah.
The ride itself was a bit frenetic. I couldn't make heads or tails of it. It's like kind of you got to be there sort of a thing.
Yep.
But yeah, then in that study kind of a room, I was like, man, that's really cool how they've changed that scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I thought the animatronic was cool. And does he like do the whole like unlock the gate, like the unlock the cabinet thing and all that?
No.
Because like, that was part of
what I
saw too. Huh. I don't remember a lot of about what I saw.
I was looking around that room at all the different artifacts, and I did see there's a lot of you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Not mystery, but Easter eggs.
That's
what I'm trying to think of. There was a gun hanging on the wall and had like a Hydra logo on it, and
mm-hmm.
in the first room when you come in, one of the containers that hanging from the ceiling has Figment in it.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool. And you go into like the boiler room area, whatever they call it now, and they actually have a stuffed They had a stuffed version of the Abominable Snowman from Matterhorn.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool. Yeah. It's a good ride. I don't think it would fit in Hollywood Studios though.
They better not.
I can't take away Tower
of Terror.
I know.
It fits the theme of where it is perfectly, and Twilight Zone deserves to remain an important part of pop culture because it was an important part of television history. I'm biased because I'm a fan.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Rod Serling and that work that he did. So I would be mighty perturbed if they took it away.
But they can't do that there because they're building that attraction in Epcot,
mm-hmm.
which doesn't make sense either.
It doesn't. But
just go with it.
Yeah.
It's not our money. They can do whatever they want. They'll get
our money eventually. Some of it's your money.
Some of it is probably my money. That's very true. Is there anything else we're missing about the trip that you wanted to touch upon?
About Disney? I think that's pretty much it. We adopted.
Oh, we adopted while we were there.
Yes,
we adopted a Wicket.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even realize his last name was Warwick.
Wicked.
Until
Wicket
I looked at the tag.
W. Warwick.
Yeah.
That's right. You didn't know that?
But it says in the tag.
That's not like canon, though.
No, it is canon.
Is
real.
It?
Yeah.
It's like it's the actor's first name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I did not know that. I think I was okay not knowing.
Of course, the last time I saw the movie, how old were we? Did we pay attention to his last name?
They don't.
That was probably in the.
They don't say his name in Return of the Jedi.
It's probably in the Battle for Endor or whatever movie it was. But yeah, that's canon. I knew that. I don't know why I know that, but I know that.
Yeah.
I think that's about it. I mean, we had a lot of food.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't do any fancy restaurants or any. We're planning to do. We were going to do Carsey Circle, but that was the day it rained on us.
Yeah, I think
so. And the day it rained, I realized I didn't bring any pins to trade. I wanted to do like pin trading.
Mm-hmm.
So we walked back to the hotel, took all the wet clothes off, dried our shoes out with a hair dryer.
Yeah.
And luckily we both had other pairs of shoes with us. So we went out to the store maybe a couple miles away from the park called D-Pins and Collectibles. And it's a collectible store, but there was like a lot of the stuff in there was, what's the word I'm looking for? It was you could rent out a cabinet and put your shit in there.
Consignment.
Thank you. They had a lot of Funko Pops, a lot of pins, and they had this one little bin of pins, of Disney pins for like $2 each.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to buy some pins and do some trading.
Okay.
And I bought like 5 or 6.
See, pins. That's what I've been on the lookout for because I only buy pins that I want.
Yeah.
So then I'm not going to trade them.
Yeah.
But then I come across like cast members that have pins that I want, and I don't have anything that I'm willing to trade for it.
Exactly. So. That's what I did. Because I had a couple pins that I brought with me. And I put it on. I didn't even have a lanyard. They sold like used lanyards for like $2, so I bought a lanyard too. I'm like, all right, this works. And I did some trading. It was fun. I got a couple cool things. I got a really cool Figment pin that it's like Figment's like stylized, like evil looking.
Okay,
I'll just show it to you.
I need to see
it's
that.
Weird.
I need
it's
to
cool.
see that one.
I like it a lot. I got a Haunted Mansion pin. I got a Abominable Snowman from Matterhorn.
Did you get those Haunted Mansion patches?
I did not.
You didn't buy those?
They're too small.
Okay.
They
don't look that good, to be honest.
Did they not?
Quality-wise.
Okay.
Yeah, I wanted to get... I just want the one patch.
Mm-hmm.
But you can buy them online if I really wanted to. I saw them on the Disney website. I didn't buy a lot of souvenirs. I bought a couple couple of pins. I bought the Star Wars Galaxy Edge hat.
Mm-hmm.
I bought you know who Jim Shore is?
Jim Shore.
He does Disney figurines that are sort of wooden. They have like special cool designs on them.
I'm not familiar, I guess.
I bought the Hatbox Ghost of that.
Okay.
And I bought a Haunted Mansion hoodie.
Okay.
How much do you think the hoodie would have been?
Like hoodies at like theme parks. And like concerts and stuff like that are usually upwards of $60.
How much do you think a Haunted Mansion hoodie at Disneyland would be?
I would guess 50 at least.
At least.
How
it
much?
It was $49.
Okay.
$50. Which wasn't
bad.
That bad. And luckily, somebody in this room gave me a $25 gift card.
That wasn't me.
It wasn't you. So I used that.
George.
George.
No.
So yeah, we didn't really buy a lot, you know.
No.
We didn't want to carry a bunch of shit home, you know.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know. I think we had a great time. We were planning to go into LA a few times, But we didn't. We only went there like the last day on the way to the airport. We had to go to Amiibo.
We went to Amiibo, yeah.
Yeah. It was like, we spent an hour in there. It's like, oh, we got to fucking go. It's like, not enough time. We did find a couple cool little record stores in the Anaheim area. One, it was like super, it was mostly punk, but you couldn't even walk in the store.
No,
dude.
There were boxes everywhere.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It's like a hoarder just had to throw his shit in a small space and call
it
a store.
There's a huge punk section and a decent metal section. I got an original pressing of Ludacris Power Trip for like $20, which is not bad. There's another store we went to. I can't think of the name of it now, but we spent like an hour in there just talking to the dude about metal and stuff. And it was really cool, but he just didn't have a lot of used stuff.
It was all new, just a little bit of used.
Yeah. And I'm looking for original pressings of stuff, you know, not a lot of remaster, re-release type stuff, but I don't know. Overall, I think you should take the kids, man. I think y'all would have a great time.
Yeah, we were talking about that being our next Disney destination. I don't think it's going to play out that way, though. But
no?
But we're going to try to get out there at some point.
Have your wife ever been?
No.
No?
No, she hasn't been out that. She's never been to California at all.
Mm.
But, yeah, it looks like we may be tentatively going to Universal Studios in Florida sometime later this year. Cool. And then my wife and I are probably going back to Disney World for our 10th anniversary next year.
Cool.
Because we went there on our honeymoon.
Yeah.
So,
we went there on our honeymoon, too.
So that seems appropriate.
Yep.
So.
Definitely. So we're at Bionic Records.
Bionic Records.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the smaller store?
No. That was the place that was
Shadow the metal store,
one.
Yeah.
Radiation Records was
Radiation
the place.
Records, that's the other one, yeah.
They didn't have a logo, they just had the little Radiation logo.
Yeah, we drove by
name.
It. It's like, it was
so we drove by it a couple times, trying to figure where it was.
And it was in a weird, not even a strip mall looking thing. It was like a
very, you need to know what you're looking for
to
find it kind of a place.
Yes. But it was cool, though. For you, for me, not you, I can tell. She was like, I'm going to be out of the car.
I was like, I'm going to be outside. I'm going to just look on Facebook or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what was the deal? Like,
you literally could not walk in. There was like a pathway only one person could go through at a time. It was like a U-shape.
Okay.
And there were boxes. The door didn't shut.
This was the one that you said was the hoarder place?
Yes, the hoarder place. There was like one pathway.
So like
and
you very punk rock.
If somebody was like trying to get
very
this way,
rock.
You had to actually get out for the, you know, yeah.
But if you're looking for punk or metal,
they got you.
It's the place to go to.
All right.
Seriously. And Bionic Records as well. Yeah, that place is pretty
awesome.
That was
awesome. Cool. Yeah. Yeah. And the giant.
I mean, they had used shirts from like back in the 80s and stuff like that. It was just all metal stuff. It was pretty cool. We should open a store like that here.
No.
Won't survive.
We have a few stores like that here.
But yeah.
That was, she just straight up was like, no. No.
Fine. Yeah, that was our trip to Disneyland in a nutshell. It was a good 5 or 6 days. It was fun.
It was fun. We'll have to do it again eventually.
We have to go back to Galaxy's Edge now.
Star Wars Land, yes.
Mm. You have any other questions, burning questions? It was all serviceable.
Oh,
shut up.
I'm out, man.
I got to get you some more.
Yep, just whiskey leavings at this point.
All right, let's want to jam some metal real quick?
Yes.
All right. So this is part of the show where we usually do George Hates Metal, but since George isn't here and we don't hate metal, we're going to talk about the metal concert that we saw.
Neat.
Segway.
In California, we saw one of our main reason for going was to see Avantasia. And did not disappoint. I will tell you that. I'll tell you what. Yes, it was such a fucking amazing show. It was at the, what was the name of the venue? The City Grove National. In Anaheim. It was right next to where the A's play and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really cool stadium or venue. It's weird. There's like different tiers. There's like tier one, tier two, tier three for seating.
Well, and, I didn't even seating. It was just like
rows
without seating.
For our show, it was general
admission.
For our show,
yeah, there's no tiers.
But holy crap, dude. We were so close to the band. They played, what, 3 hour show?
Yeah.
3 hour plus show.
Wow.
Yeah. It was no opening band. It was like 8 o'clock. They came on stage and they didn't get off until they were done. It was freaking amazing. I've never seen Toby,
as they called him. Yeah.
Toby Sammet.
Tobias.
Before.
Tobias.
Yeah.
That's how they pronounced it.
So there was a lot of different vocalists in the band. Do you have that pulled up?
Yes.
So the one that surprised me the most was...
Jeff Tate?
Well, Jeff Tate was actually really good.
Yeah, he was actually on.
Was he?
He was really good.
He didn't have any backup vocals.
I was under the impression that he'd kind of lost it. Like,
he might have not, I don't know. He, with Avantasia, he was hitting notes. He was having a good time. What I liked about it, okay.
He's singing without the weight of Queensryche
on
top of him.
I don't know what it was, but he was fucking on point. He was on fleek, as they say. Is that work?
That's what the kids say, I assume.
His vocals are on fleek.
Oh, shit. No.
So... What I like, so,
I can't endorse this direction.
No.
So
what Tobias does is there's points of the show where he sort of walks away off stage and lets these other vocalists have center stage. Like there's parts where, you know, Jeff Tate was like commanding the stage and then had like his spiel between songs and then he would come back out and then Eric Martin would come out and do his weird ass spiel.
Making his weird funny jokes, yeah.
Eric Martin is... Okay, so let's talk about
the band. Who don't know, yes, who Eric Martin is.
Eric Martin is from Mr. Big, and you wouldn't think that he would fit in a band like Avantasia. He really does, man. His vocals, he really was trying different things here. So we had Bob Catley, who was from the band Magnum, Eric Martin from Mr. Big, Jeff Tate... Jorn Lande, man.
Jorn, fuck, you said it wrong.
Jorn.
No, like the guy had a shirt. You see the guy's shirt?
Jorn fucking Lande.
Yeah.
Okay.
The guy behind us had a shirt that said that.
And Jorn saw it and just like laughed and gave him a thumbs up or a middle
Never
sign.
Never thought I would see him live or be that close to him in person as he's performing. It was phenomenal. Then we had Ronnie Atkins from Pretty Maids, Herbie Langens. Was Herbie Langens and Adrian Cohen were the backing vocalists, man. And Herbie Langens is in Sinbreed, that band. And Adrian Cohen is in this power metal band called Seven Spires. But she's also the keyboardist backup vocalist in Winds of Plague, which is that metalcore-ish band.
Okay.
So she was doing all... If you listen to the new Avantasia album... There's parts where the singer from Creator had stuff. She was doing all that stuff. Plus, she was doing all the female vocal parts from the songs, and she was phenomenal.
Yeah, she was great.
Then the band consisted of Sasha Pace, who's a producer. He's been in Avantasia, Ed Guy, Rhapsody of Fire. He's done all this stuff. Ole Hartman. What did they call him? Ole, I can't remember what they called him. But he's had his own band, Hartman, and he's also guitars and vocals from the band Advance. And then the drummer was from Ed Guy. And a couple other people, the keyboardist is a producer, and the bass player is a guy named Andre. I think this is his only project, but phenomenal lineup, phenomenal band. They played everything from the first album, and they played pretty much the entire new album in different segments. You know, they didn't play it in, like...
Not in album order.
Right, which I think made more sense to do it this way.
Yeah.
So you don't get bored of it, really. But Tobias was amazing live.
Yeah.
It was one of those one-in-a-lifetime shows that you would always... You watch, like, hey, I'm going to watch Avantasia from Wacken, you know what I mean?
He sounds live how he does recorded, so it's
yeah,
not like, yeah.
He was sick, too. You could tell. He was, like, coughing between, you know, lines, and you could tell he was physically still ill.
Yeah.
But man, he was hitting those notes, and phenomenal show. What did you think?
It was more than serviceable.
I was about to say, more than serviceable to you?
No, it was a great show. That's one of those I figured that we'd ever see them live because they really didn't tour here. So
yeah.
So that was great. We've seen two bands that we never figured we'd see the past 2 years. So
last year
figure out the third band. What's the
right,
next
one? Last year was the Halloween.
Yeah.
This year was the Avantasia. Who's it going to be next year?
We're going to have to go to see what's his name.
See Arion and
Aaron.
We have to go to the Netherlands.
We have to go to the Netherlands. I said no.
He's played a few times.
Fortnagar, that's for me.
Yeah,
we were this weekend. The past weekend was there at Maryland Death Fest.
Yep,
but yeah,
I've seen Fortnagar. It was back in 1999 though.
Yeah, well,
that was that Olden Domain.
I was about
era?
To say that was yeah.
It's they opened up for the Emperor Tour. What?
See, because like Emperor would be one of my like.
Oh yeah.
Actually, didn't we talk about that?
Yeah.
Like a couple episodes ago, that Emperor would probably be like a bucket list band for me.
Yeah, for sure. They're amazing.
I know they are.
It was at Cardi's actually, and they did an in fucking store signing at the Sound Warehouse right next to it. And I got the poster signed, which I sold a few years ago.
Feel good about yourself for that?
I don't.
No.
I really don't anymore, but whatever. Yeah. Who would be on your bucket list now that we've seen all these bands?
Well, Aaron and Arion, and we saw Anathema already, so that's been checked off.
Yeah.
I don't know who else. Well, Sentenced is no longer around, so I can't, yeah.
Who'd you say?
Sentenced.
Oh, okay.
I saw maybe 15 minutes of them before they got cut off.
I can't think of who else it would be. I mean, every other band I've seen, besides bands of people, members are dead or something, which you can't do that. Yeah. Can't see the Beatles, sorry.
Or Nevermore.
I've seen Nevermore a couple times, but would have been nice to have seen them one last time before they canceled.
Or they canceled.
They were supposed to be here, then they canceled. I think that was like around the time that they decided to go their own separate ways.
Oh, forgot about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think as a catalyst for our trip to California, I think it was good. It lived up to all my expectations.
Yeah.
It got me to Disneyland as well.
Yeah. Good trip. Good trip.
So, do you have anything that's tickling your geek? I know, since he's not here, we'll still keep his segment.
God.
Something upcoming that you're looking forward to?
I mentioned that Trover vs. Save the Universe game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to that.
I'm trying to think. I didn't give this any thought ahead of time.
I didn't really either.
It seemed like there was something upcoming that I was excited about. You know what? This is not really my area of interest, but this new Godzilla movie looks fucking awesome.
I'm excited about it, actually.
Yeah.
I actually want to see it, too.
It looks really cool.
From the reviews I've read, the character development is really bad.
I don't care if there's actually monster fights in it
time.
The huge monster fights are fucking phenomenal.
They tried to do character development in the last Godzilla movie, and it sucked.
Do you remember the one with Matthew Broderick?
I've only seen that one.
2004.
I've only seen that one. And no, it was before that.
Was it 2000 for some reason?
Pretty sure it was 2000, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe. But I've only seen that one in riff tracks form.
Oh, really?
I've never actually watched the movie itself. I went and did a riff tracks live.
That'd
event.
Be fun.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah. But no, like this, like the previous Godzilla movie, where like they tried to make it about the people, they killed the best character in the first 15 minutes of the movie. That was Bryan Cranston.
Oh yeah, that's right.
He was the most interesting character in the movie, and they killed him. And then we got completely, completely boring Kick-Ass through the whole rest of the movie. It was terrible. Like, the parts with Godzilla were cool in that movie, but there were, like, three of them, and it was not enough. But then this, like, the trailers for this movie came out, and it's, like, hundreds of monsters. Yeah. I know it's not hundreds
Mothra,
of monsters, but, it just seems like they're going fucking all in.
You don't watch a Godzilla or, like, a Transformers for the story. You just want to see them
Right. Exactly. And like I'm not huge on kaiju movies. I didn't grow up watching Godzilla movies like a lot of people. But the trailers for this new one look awesome fun. And I really want to see it.
Yeah.
And apparently, you know, this is same universe as the last King Kong movie.
They are going to be doing a Godzilla versus King Kong movie.
Yep, 2020.
And Kong Skull Island was badass, too.
Yes. I agree.
Yeah.
Because the very end of that movie is, it ties into the Monarch part of the Godzilla, which they introduced in the last Godzilla movie, which is the only good thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, I am looking forward to this movie. I do want to see it as well.
So I guess I'm
looking
for
monsters fighting on screen. Cannot be bad. Mm-hmm.
The trailers are exciting.
Yeah.
So hopefully it follows through and it's good.
What about you? What is that tickling your geek?
Well, something I'm looking forward to is in about 2 weeks we have E3 coming up. So that's what we'll be glued to.
What in particular?
Just the different games are coming out. Hopefully, we'll see more about Borderlands.
That's why I'm asking this question.
That's the big one.
He knew the answer.
I knew the answer.
Well, there's some new Avengers game that's coming out that Square Enix is doing.
The Squeenix game?
Squeenix. So I'm wondering about that. Just seeing all the different games. More. What's it called? Death Stranded?
Death Stranding.
Stranding. I'm wondering more about that.
They released a trailer for that today.
I read this morning that talking about Borderlands, if you have a active PlayStation Network account or whatever, the Handsome Collection is going to be starting in June. So,
yeah,
I have Borderlands 2 in VR. So you played Borderlands 2, right?
I've actually only played a little bit of Borderlands 2.
I played
the shit out of the first one. I played it over and over and over.
You know,
with
Borderlands, you can get really high in this game and then, like, jump down and have, like,
repercussions. Yes.
Uh-huh. Like, you can get high in this game?
Not really high, like, before you play
the game. I never played that version of it.
It might help sometimes, but
whatever. I thought he was just talking about, like, in general, like, before you play the game.
In life,
you get high and beat a bunch of skags, I guess.
But in VR, I know you played VR for a quick second before you got...
Yeah, I got sick.
Sick.
Yeah.
But getting it to the high end, like the highest top of a mountain in Borderlands 2 VR, and just jumping down and not being able to get hurt, and just... It fucking gives you... Fuck, man.
Dude, Assassin's Creed would be awesome that way.
Maybe.
Well, the jumping down and all that.
There's a game, you know, what I'm looking forward to is a game called Blood and Truce. It's a VR game that just came out. It is done by the London studio from Sony. Imagine a Guy Ritchie game, a Guy Ritchie movie in video game form in VR.
So like London Underground crime scene.
Yes.
Kind of.
There was a demo disc that came out when the... VR first came out. It was called The London Heist, and it was like an hour-ish experience that this is based off of. So this is a full-fledged 5 to 6 hour game. I saw I watched a review on it today. I am looking forward to jumping in and playing this game.
Cool.
Hopefully it won't give me a motion sickness.
That was a bummer.
That was Doom, though, so...
Well, but Doom's like my thing, man.
I'll have to get you on Tetris or something to see if it affects you. Just to see if it was at that one game with some movement or if it was everything. You know? We don't know. All right. So I guess that wraps it up for us. First of all, we need to talk about our sponsor really quick. We should let Kim do that. Or I'll do it.
I think you'll do it.
So... If you want to save 10% on your collectibles, including cool brands like Funko and Bandai, Artifacts, Banpresto, go to tantrumcollectibles.com. Put in the code...
Metal Geeks.
Say it with enthusiasm.
Metal Geeks.
There you go. Metal Geeks at the checkout, and you'll save 10%. So, again, thanks for tuning in. Let's let everybody know where they can find us on the interwebs. First of all, you can go to metalgeeks.net to keep up with all the geekery. If you want to send us an email, msrcast@gmail.com. If you have a topic that you want to hear covered, anything you want to let us know how great or bad of a job we're doing, how much you miss George this week. Whatever. How much you disagree with his movie reviews. What do you quick question. What do you think George would think about Aladdin?
Oh, he would hate it.
Greed.
He would hate it.
He fucking hates it.
He might concede that Will Smith wasn't that bad, but he would have hated the movie.
Okay, we're on the same page on that one.
Uh-huh.
We'll find out next time.
That's right. Was it tune in next?
Tune in next. Well, you'll say next week, depending on when. But yeah.
So you can follow us on the internet as well. Twitter at Metal Geeks, Instagram at Metal Geeks, and Facebook. You can subscribe to us, please, at iTunes. Leave us a review, subscribe. You can find us now on other places like Stitcher, Spotify, and you can also find us at ESONetwork.com, along with all the great other shows on the ESO Network. And you can find us, of course, on their feed, on iTunes, and all those places. So, what about you, Mr. Dave?
You can find me, look for Red Viking Dave on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And that's where you'll find me posting about my artwork and sometimes what I'm listening to and occasionally what I'm drinking.
You have any cool projects you're working on right now?
So just today I broke out canvas and paintbrushes and stuff. I haven't painted anything in I can't remember when. It's been a long time. So I'm giving painting a whirl again. We'll see how it goes.
Very cool. And do you have social media? Voice from the other room?
I don't really do a lot, like, that much, but I'll be on the Metal Geeks page. You know, sometimes I'll post or I'll comment, so.
That's right. So, once again, you have been listening to episode 164 of the Metal Geeks podcast. What do you think? Was it serviceable?
It was adequate.
I think it was serviceable. Thanks for tuning in, and as always...
Keep it metal.
And...
keep it geeky.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.
Hey, this is Mike. A few months back, I was given the assignment of creating a new promo for the Air Station 1 podcast. I figured I had a ton of time, but I kind of got distracted. Go figure. And we realized we had somehow missed our deadline. Hi. So here I am late at night trying to figure out something creative to get you to listen to our show. I guess I could just use my announcer voice. Listen to the Earth Station 1 podcast. For almost 9 years, we've been bringing your inner geek out to play. We're a founding member of the ESO Network, and you can find us up on most media players like iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever fine podcasts are found. I think that might work.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.